Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome. I am so excited to be here with my lovely bride, Natalie, today. We are going to talk about tracking. I have been hearing so much owners of cleaning companies lately talk about they don't know what to track. If they did track, they wouldn't know what to do with that information. So they're stuck just either tracking too much or not enough. And if they have it, they don't know what to do and they give up. And there's a lot of confusion and fear, and it's a headache. The problem is lack of tracking will absolutely kill your growth. It's almost impossible to A, know if you're growing at all, or B, grow on purpose if you're not tracking with numbers, right? We've got a lot of emotions that I feel like we're growing, or I feel this or I feel that, but our feelings will lie to us, people. Not only that, if the tracking doesn't put you out of business, it will 1000% rob you of your confidence and your clarity. And this one issue, lack of tracking or really understanding what numbers you should be tracking or how to track them or what to do with the information, that one thing can absolutely kill your growth, your momentum, your will to live, whatever you got. It ain't good. LaShonda says, hey. Diane Jean says, hey, guys, good to have you both on the deal. Diane says, you guys are great. Oh, well, please don't ever let me interrupt you complimenting us, Diane. We love that. Appreciate you, sister. All right. So let's jump into what to track, why to track it. Starting with my favorite thing is Natalie says, hey, guys. I'm almost guessing. Hey, Jolu's in the house. Jolu's like one of our most faithful. He's a Clean Profit Program guy. One of our most faithful Facebook Live guys. Always good to have you on, buddy. All right. So tracking, not knowing what to track and why to track it, will kill your growth, kill your will to live, put you out of business, rob you of confidence and clarity. Let's talk about some of the false beliefs that kind of set this thing up so we can clarify those and get them out of the way right off the bat. First and foremost, my accountant handles that. There's the huge air quotes for those of you guys that can't see the video. My accountant, quote unquote, handles that. That is nonsense. That's like saying my marriage counselor handles my wife's needs. Like, I'm not talking anything weird. I'm talking emotionally and mentally and spiritually, right? That would be crazy. Certainly I can have a consultant or someone that knows more about a subject than I can. Or I do, but to say that they would handle that is insane. You absolutely must have a clear understanding of your key numbers. Nothing hurts my feelings or makes me sadder when I'm coaching somebody and I ask basic information, sales, gross profit, overhead, is there profit? Are you making money? And they go, my accountant's got all that. And I go, can you log into your own books? No, I've got to ask my accountant and he does a report or she does a report and sends it to me. Guys, gals, ladies, gentlemen, if you have to ask your accountant or whoever does your books, your CPA, your bookkeeper, whatever, to get you a report, something has gone horribly wrong. Certainly, I like them doing reports. That's fine. But you should be able to get direct access to your account anytime. It's okay not to have those numbers memorized, but you certainly should be able to check in on those without having to ask your accountant permission or have to go through another human being. Any feedback before we roll, Natalie?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people have like this false belief that they know what they're doing. They're infallible. They won't make mistakes. The thing is accountants have a dozen or several hundred different accounts that they have to pay attention to. And they're not going to give your account the absolute care and love that you are going to. And we've had some amazing accountants in the past, and they have still made mistakes that you and I have caught going forward. And had we not caught it, it certainly would have been an expensive mistake. So don't think that they are the all end all be all. They make mistakes all the time. And it's really important that you know what they're doing.
And that's assuming they've made a flat out mistake. I've had many a client that gives me their P&L and their cost of good, massive, easily fixed errors are just rampant. So please understand. Get with a coach or make sure that you understand. TJ says, my accountant takes care of that. Has been the beginning of many an embezzlement horror story. You're absolutely right. Yeah, your accountant sure did take care of it. Took care of it right out the window, man. Well played. Christina's in the house. Glad you're here. She uses QuickBooks. We love QuickBooks. Nothing wrong with that. But the reality of the situation is so many accountants are, you can get your CPA license. You can say your bookkeeper. Anyone can hang their shingle and say they're a bookkeeper, but many of them don't know what a cost of goods sold is, the difference between accrual and cash. And we're not going to get into those details today. Those are important. If you don't know them, that's not great, but you can get by without. If your accountant doesn't know it, we got a problem. So don't just assume because your accountant says he or she's a great accountant or an average accountant that they can put together your books. The key is there's really two pieces to it. One is whatever they need to do to prepare you to pay taxes. We're not going to talk about that here because that's really more of a CPA thing. And as long as you're paying taxes legally and you're not overpaying, you're getting all the deductions that are legally due you, and you're paying your fair share or you're what the government requires you to pay, we're square on that end. What we're going to talk about today is the numbers to run your books. And a lot of times, even good CPAs that know how to prepare taxes right don't know how to prepare a profit and loss statement. So we have good data that we can actually use. So here's another kind of false thing that holds people back. It's going to take so much time to track. I used to track and it would take me forever. The reality is it does not take that time. It takes very little time to track if you're tracking the right things. What takes a ton of time is to fix the messes. And a lot of folks that have come to me, and you may be in this boat yourself, a lot of them will have their books. So what happens, it starts off innocently enough, right? Oh, I'm just going to have my accountant handle it. And then you don't hear from her a couple months. And it kind of like the farther away it gets in time, the more freaked out we get that it's going to be a mess. And then it becomes where it actually is a mess and nobody does it. So the reality of the situation is to stay on top of your books. Certainly if you're under 3 or 4 million a year, really is just not that long, a couple hours a month at tops. The only time it gets tricky is when you ignore it and don't do anything and let it. And then you're trying to figure out, what was this $183 we spent 6 months ago Tuesday? Like, that's a bear, right? You want to make sure that you stay on it monthly so you know what all these expenses are and you can kind of fix everything. So it takes very little time to track the right things, right? And we can go overboard. We're going to talk about that in a second and track too much stuff. But if you're just tracking the right things, it doesn't take that long to track it. Where it takes a ton of time is to clean up a mess that you've made after the fact. And the longer the mess gets, the more scared people get to take care of it, and the bigger the mess becomes. And then, something terrible happens where you can't make payroll. The government wants a bunch of money that you don't have, and then you're forced to deal with it. And I promise you, that is not the time you want to deal with your tracking, especially after the fact, right? You can do all you want. The government's still going to want their money, all that stuff. Another falsehood or thing that's killing owners of cleaning companies is this belief that, well, even if I did have all that data, it's not going to help me make any more money, right? I run a cleaning business. I know what's going on. The reality is you don't even know if you are making money, never mind whether or not you can get more if you don't have data. Bring the data, not the drama, right? We don't care about your feelings. We care about the facts. So we can feel, and I've had many businesses that are, I'm crushing it. I'm growing so fast. We're monstrous. And they pull out their P&L and they're making no money or losing money or barely making slave wages or making less money than they did when they're half the size. So a lot of times people get tempted to slow down on this and back off on this the faster they grow, right? They see that their top line is growing, they're making more money, so they don't feel like they need to track. And then the problem is that's a great time for expenses to get out of hand and you to realize the wrong way, the hard way, oh my goodness, all these accounts I took on weren't actually profitable and we're working harder for the same or less money, which is a real kick in the soft parts when that happens. So again, another thing is, oh, I've got a good idea of quote unquote the important stuff and I don't need to write it down anywhere, right? I've got my spreadsheet. So there's all these nutballs that are like, oh, I don't need QuickBooks. Or, and again, I like QuickBooks because it's easy. You can find, everybody knows how to use QuickBooks. It's very simple. It's not anything wonky. But when I've got my spreadsheet, or I kind of have my tick marks I use here and I've got 7 different things all over the place, is a great way to lie to yourself and feel like, you're doing well, right? So there's so many, I always know that I'm going to get a bad answer when I had salespeople and I would ask a simple yes or no or numbers based question. Did you make your 20 calls today? The right answer is yes or no. I made 14. You know, you're in trouble when they start with, well, and then there's some sort of story. Anytime you ask someone a question that requires a number or a yes or a no, and they start with a story, we know we got a problem. And generally what that means is I have not tracked it. So when I ask people on coaching calls, how many leads have you gotten this week? And they go, well, this was a bad week and you don't know. And they start saying, what the real answer is, I don't know. Right. So we want to make sure that we track somewhere between 15 and 20. And the real answer is 6. Right. But we're not tracking it. So never, 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 never go with how you feel, because your feelings will lie to you all the time. Every time numbers that we track, even if we track numbers, we can still get it wrong. But at least we know we're going to be close. When we're going by our feelings or our gut or how it feels, we are going to tell stories about the reality, which is fine until you get to payroll, which is non-negotiable. The payroll that needs to withdraw $23,419.18 out of your account on Friday or on Thursday is not interested in your stories, right? You can have all the, well, I feel like I have a lot. You can feel any way you want, but either you have that money in the account or you don't. So we got to make sure that we're not mixing feelings, which is very subjective. And maybe Natalie feels rich and I feel poor and someone else feels different. But the reality is the numbers, the truth, the reality is what it is. And folks like people that collect rent or workers' compensation insurance or payroll or marketing bills or whatever you got to pay or your mortgage or personal bills, those are all based on facts. And you can't say, no, 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 I feel like I'm making a ton of money. Don't worry about, you know, don't worry about the money. I feel really good. That's a big one. So if you have ever said, it's my accountant's problem, or I feel like I'm good, or we have around this much money, those are all massive red flags. We collected $43,192.18 in the month of January, or whatever the case may be. Natalie, you almost always have something good to say. Anything you want to chime in or tell me I'm being ridiculous?
You are ridiculous regardless, but I think, especially for me, because I'm the one that kind of does our bookkeeping. We also obviously have an accountant and CPA. But
by the way, hold on really quick. Huge hypocrisy. I'm like, you must do your books. You must know them. Natalie, you do our books. Tell them what you think. Go ahead.
Yeah, but see, anytime you ask me for a report, I get it to you.
And I am able to log in. I actually logged in today for my own report, whatever. So I don't have to.
They grow up so fast.
I'm such a big boy.
I'm so proud of you. Gold stars, right? As soon as we're done with this, I'm going to cover your face with them. So I think for people that get overwhelmed with it, I think it's easy to just be like, oh, this guy's like a superstar. He's going to handle it for me. And I just barely even need to spot check it. And then we use that as an excuse to like kind of pull back from it. And then just like you were saying, where that like that stress and that anxiety starts building, because you're like, I feel like we're doing okay, but how are the expenses going? And then like you get hyper-focused on either money coming in or money going out. And then you've got this anxiety building and you just don't know where things are going. And it really will eat at you. And so it's kind of like one of those rip the Band-Aid moments. Like you've just got to know where you are and make adjustments now. Cause if, you know, just like a ship, if you're 1 degree off now, it's not a big deal a week from now, but in a year from now, you are in a completely different continent. And
in a ship, if you're 1 degree off, that's a big deal a week from now. I'm pretty sure.
Everybody puts it off for like several months and then they're like, oh crap, tax time now. I got to get this stuff together. And then they realize it's a complete disaster, or they haven't been saving for their taxes at all. And they've been doing great, but they haven't been saving. And now we got to deal with Uncle Sam, and they are not quite as friendly as the people from QuickBooks.
Yeah. Let me give you a terrible scenario that happens all day, every day, or all year often. We made on paper $63,000 in profit. Good for us. Well, guess what? We took $63,000 in profit. So our tax burden is 20 grand. Well, the problem is we don't have good collection policies, which we'll talk in a different podcast. So we have $48,000 in receivables. So we only collected $22,000 or whatever in money. We owe $20,000 in taxes. How are we going to do this? Not something you want to find out April 16th or anywhere near April. And it's so funny, Natalie mentioned about the detail orientedness I'll just trust my accountant. I have every cleaner I've ever talked to, just about without exception, says something like, I have to check my clean. They're not detail oriented enough. They'll leave a paperclip. And then they leave their entire finances for their whole company to some guy or gal that they don't hardly know, and don't check up on that guy with the entire finances of their company. But God forbid they let a cleaner alone with a paperclip at some customer's house. It's not like you were arming them with TNT. So you guys really have to be careful of we're stepping over massive dollars to pick up these pennies of wanting to check on employees. You look like you want to say something, Nat.
Oh, no, I think with kind of people that we've talked to with the horror stories with their accountants, like their accountants were fighting them like, no, I don't understand accrual. We just do the cash thing. And I'm like, just all the different things that people fight their accountants for. It's like, your accountant should do what you tell them to do. You were telling them, you were paying them for that privilege. And if they are telling you, no, you don't need to do that, it's not a big deal or anything, like, I'm kind of at a loss of words.
Which doesn't work really good when we're doing a verbal broadcast, but I...
It just makes me angry that, you know, that their accountant kind of bullies them into, no, this is the way that my accountant does it. Well, that's not going to work for you. You need to know.
Which is fine until their accountant's a knucklehead and has no clue what he's doing or she's doing. And then now we got ourselves a problem. So
Right. Absolutely.
You don't have to have a degree in accounting. You don't have to be a genius. And I promise none of this takes algebra or I've never had a client that was too dumb to figure out his own books. They were too scared or disinterested. So don't be scared. Don't be disinterested. Another thing that'll kind of catch you is I need to track everything, right? Because some people, we've talked about tracking nothing and how that can bite you right in the butt. The flip side of that is I have to track everything. Website hits, phone calls, engagement, share. You know, Facebook will give you 38 different reports, none of which mean anything, right? Because they just want to obscure the fact that you're paying a bunch of money and you haven't got any clicks yet, or you're, you know, the two or three key data. So part of the thing is really understanding what's important to track and not track too much. Because if you have all the data in the world, you know, like all the stuff that we teach, it's probably on Google. If you had an infinite amount of time to Google and search and suss out who's right and who's wrong and blah, 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 what you need is the right data at the right time. So it's really important that you don't overtrack. I'd rather you overtrack than undertrack. But a lot of people swing wildly from I don't track anything or enough, and I have no data and I'm flying blind, right? It's like I'm going down the freeway at 50 miles an hour with a top down Ferrari, but I've got the daggum blindfold on. And then we swing to, all right, I'm going to track everything, control everything, which is fine. But if you don't know what data you're tracking and why you're tracking and what you're going to do with that information, it's not really going to help you. So the big things that you need to track are your profit and loss statement. This should be an accrual basis, not cash. And maybe we'll do a whole thing on that another time. Accrual. And if your accountant tells you, why would you need cash? Or why would you need an accrual? They're probably the wrong accountant. If you have any sort of receivables that you don't get paid immediately, or any sort of payables where you pay later, which is called payroll, people, they do the work today and you're going to pay them in the future. If you've got any of that stuff, hey, Ralph and or Gina Wrangles on the phone. I miss you guys. Good to see you. Or good to virtually see you. Good to see your little emoticon of a thumbs up and I think a sad or angry face. I don't know what's happened, but I'm just going to go with the thumbs up and my old man eyes can't really see the rest. We got to make sure we track a P&L. That P&L has got to be done correctly, which is sales, cost of goods sold, gross profit, expenses, net profit. If your accountant has your cost of goods sold, hello, Club De Las, I'm not even gonna try that last word. It sounds very fancy, but hello, we got a hello. If your accountant has cost of goods sold, what it costs you to actually provide your service in the expenses, that's another really good red flag that we've got to get another accountant or really educate this accountant on what's going on. So your P&L needs to be tracked. Your customer profitability, which won't show, because your P&L is gonna show you overall profitability. Is my company profitable at the end of the day? The problem is whether it is or isn't, we don't know, is this specific customer profitable? So we want to track those and they work really well together. The P&L is how's my company doing from a big overhead view, and we can use that data to know if our cost of goods sold are high, maybe it's time to raise prices. If our expenses are high, we might need to cut them or raise. The answer to everything is always raising prices, by the way. It always can be, but that's where I'd start. But there's always
right, that's it. You can just stop listening to all the podcasts. Yeah,
just raise prices and we're done. That's prices, enough.
We're done. We're gonna retire and go home now.
And well, no, I'm going to raise my prices first. Then no one will pay because I've already told them everything. Yulia says, hello. Good to see you, Yulia Fields. I forgot where we're at. So cost P&L done properly, you need, which is an overview of your profitability, customer profitability. So you know, are you profitable per job? Client and employee attraction data. How many inquiries, bids, sales, and stops are we getting per month from the client side? And how many applicants, interviews, and hires and stops are we getting on the customer side? That's really it. So you start getting 4, 5, 6 million, multiple different things, we can modify that a little bit. But for most of you listening, certainly if you're under $1 million, if you just track your P&L, your customer, your profitability by customer, the client attraction data in terms of where my leads coming from, how many of those leads turn into bids, how many of those bids turn into sales, and then same with the employee side, you've got the data that you need and you won't get overwhelmed. The good news is when you do track, you will have the confidence and the data to make real decisions, not based on feelings. Like TJ said, I feel like my rent check should clear. Okay, well, let's see if it does, right? That is not the life that we want to be. I've been broke before and been at the gas station with the debit card going, please, come on, don't decline. It's so embarrassing. Especially someone else is in the car waiting. Yeah, that's the worst. So the benefits of tracking the stuff properly, aside from just feeling like you are in control of your business, you can actually start making good business decisions based on reality, not feelings. So many times the folks I coach make decisions based on feeling. I feel like I've got so many clients, so many, I just don't have them hired. And then we get them to hire and they realize they only had like 2% more employees, customers than they can handle. So it felt like an infinite amount, but not really. So when you start making decisions on feelings, that's a great way to kick yourself in the nuts or ovaries, depending on how you land. When you do have confidence, you can make real decisions based on real data. And not only is life more fun, but it is a heck of a lot more profitable. If you would like to talk with me and dive into exactly what you should be tracking, how to use that data, and how to use that data to come up with a plan to hit your goals, we can do that. At this point, I'm taking the time of this broadcast, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm doing complimentary breakthrough sessions at www.growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. So there, if you just go to growmycleaningcompany.com, there are podcasts, there are broadcasts like this one, there are blogs, there's all sorts of good stuff. I think you get to the Facebook group. We've got like a 6,000 member Facebook group. There's a YouTube channel. We got all sorts of resources. That's great. If you would like my personal help, you just have to go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. I, at this point, am personally doing the breakthrough sessions. We can dive into your business. We're going to talk about some of these numbers, what you should be tracking, how to use that tracking, how to set up goals, how to reverse engineer those goals with the data that you've got to kind of come up with a plan that's going to work going forward. Robert says, is this recorded for play at a later date? Yes. If you go to growmycleaningcompany.com in a week or so, I don't know how long it takes to get there. It will be there. Actually, there's probably a link you can go to. If Natalie can put in the link to get this thing, I have no idea what it is. If she doesn't put it in, that means she doesn't. What are you going to say, baby?
So there's a bunch of places you can see it. If you go to growmycleaningcompany.com/Facebook, YouTube, growmycleaningcompany.com/iTunes.
Or, but that's all later. How did they get it right now? There's like this.
I will be sending out an email in shortly with the replay and the link. So
check your email. If you don't get it, email Matt.
Otherwise, it'll be in a couple of weeks.
All right, beautiful. So long story short, yes, it is. Hey, Daisy is in the house. Daisy and Dylan are so cool. All right, guys, again, we're going to take this offline so we don't bore the pants off of everybody. I almost bored myself talking accounting, but this is so important. It is not the sexiest topic unless you're a nerd like me who gets into this crap. It can be boring, but it is so crucial. So crucial. If I could pick one, this would be my top three of things that you need to do if you're going to be successful, is be willing to get your arms around these numbers. I promise you, it's not calculus. It's not algebra. It's not trigonometry. It's adding and subtracting. There's just some basic stuff that you've got to get. Without that, it's a sad place to be. So if you want me to go through this with you, growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. If not, just go to growmycleaningcompany.com for all the cool stuff that we offer. You guys are the best. Thanks for hanging out. Talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.